We're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 7, text number 18. Chapter's entitled The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta. Now, isn't it? It's not quite. I was thinking we'd just going to hit Mother Yashoda's binding Lord Krishna at Kartik, but I think it's a bit too far ahead. Maybe if we read two verses a day, we'll get to Mother. By mystical arrangement, we'll be on that part of the Bhagavatam during Kartik, which is amazing. When I joined the Manor, we were on the 9th canto, and then we got to the 10th canto, and the president, temple president at the time, said, okay, we're not going to go to the 10th canto, we're going to go back to the 1st. So now we've come all the way through, and this time we've gone into the 10th canto. So this is the first time the 10th canto's Bhagavatam classes have been going on at the Manor, probably ever, because I don't know what happened before that, maybe not. Anyway, let's read the verse. Trinavarta. This is the first. This is actually the first verse of the pastime. What's happened previously is Krishna's just killed Shakatasura. And the demon before Shakatasura, he killed, not you. What was the first demon Krishna killed? Putana. Now Shakatasura, and then the third demon is Trinavarta. Translation. One day, a year after Krishna's appearance, Mother Yashoda was patting her son on her lap. But suddenly she felt the child to be heavier than a mountain peak, and she could no longer bear his weight. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lalayanti. No, this is his purport. Lalayanti. Sometimes a mother lifts her child, and when the child falls in her hands, the child laughs, and the mother also enjoys pleasure. The father also does this. Yashoda used to do this, but this time Krishna became very heavy and she could not bear his weight. Under the circumstances, it is to be understood that Krishna was aware of the coming of Trinavartasura, who would take him far away from his mother. Krishna knew that when Trinavarta came and took him away from his mother's lap, Mother Yashoda would be greatly bereaved. He did not want his mother to suffer any difficulty from the demon. Therefore, because he is the source of everything, Janmadyasya Yataha, he assumed the heaviness of the entire universe. The child was on the lap of Yashoda, but who was therefore in possession of everything in the world. But when the child assumed such heaviness, she had to put him down in order to give Trinavartasura an opportunity to take him away and play with him for some time, before the child returned to the lap of his mother. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksusun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ikadaruham arudam lalayanti sutam sati garimanam shishuvodam nase he giri kutavat. The word here, garimanam, is alternative for the word mahima, which is one of the mystic cities, which means to become greater than the greatest or heavier than the heaviest. Krishna, he's Yogeshwara, he's the supreme controller of all yogic powers, mystic powers. And in the 11th canto, in his own pastimes, he displays this superhuman ability to become lighter than the lightest or heavier than the heaviest. One time when Lord Chaitanya is dancing in Kirtan, the earth's trembling when he's dancing, and it's It's rocking. And when Krishna jumps in the Yamuna River to kill Kaliya, then when he jumps in, the water goes and he creates a huge splash which awakens the attention of the demon snake. Krishna likes these big dramatic appearances, activities. So he's within every atom. He's also the life, the soul of the universe. The universe is, as we know, made of atoms. And Krishna enters into each planet, and that's how they're floating in orbit. These planets, they weigh a lot. But Prabhupada said, actually, the planet's quite light because of the entrance of Krishna. He enters into each planet. And just like this body, if you throw you in the water, it'll float, you can swim, you can stay up. But if you die, then the body will immediately sink. So what to speak of a human body? Even a giant elephant body can float. The elephants can also swim, and horses. But if it was dead, then it would immediately sink. So this weightlessness or this weight is due to the atomic spirit soul. And I read one lecture, Prabhupada, saying that because of materialism, the world becomes very heavy. Just like when the body becomes heavy without the spirit soul. So with spiritualism, everything becomes light and happy. Just like when you're feeling very happy in Krishna consciousness, you come to Guru Puja, you start jumping off the ground because you're feeling ecstasy, bliss. And it's a type of lightness. And when you're heavy, you know, your mind's heavy, you can't dance, the body's weighted down. So this lightness of mood is due to sometimes spiritual enlivenment. So Kunti is not complaining, but she said, Krishna, one of the reasons you came to this world is to remove the burden, heavy burden of the military presence of all these great kings and demons. This weight is there in the material world. And yada yada hi dharmasya, when it's too heavy, Krishna comes and removes the burden, removes the weight of the materialistic mentality. Very materialistic mentality. So in Kali Yuga, this weight is increasing. In fact, Krishna even, not only did he move the weight of all his enemies, this kings and that kings, he even removed the weight of his own family. His Yadu dynasty had become so powerful that Krishna thought, well, I came to remove the burden of the earth, but now my family, they're so powerful, being my own kith and kin, I cannot leave them on this world. They'll become too powerful. So he even removed his own Yadu dynasty. He wasn't attached. So by some pastime, they all killed each other. Fratricidal war. You know the Leela, perhaps you do. Krishna's the source of these mystic powers. And we know that there's 8 mystic powers. But in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Krishna, I'll read from it in now, Krishna tells Uddhava there's 18 mystic powers. And we'll have a look at some of them just to take some interest on that. And like some really interesting ones. One of them where you can go into the sky and you can hear the speaking of every living entity. Must be quite confusing, but I'm sure, you know, you can just tune in and eavesdrop on any conversation, not only human beings, but animals and the birds, and you can hear what they're all saying. This is one of the mystic potencies. You can free yourself from hunger and thirst and bodily disturbances. And there's another one that by concentrating on the sun and then letting the sun, you enter the sun and then let the sun enter your eyeballs, then you can see great distances. It's some complicated mystic process. They're very difficult to understand. You can die when you desire. You can hear things from far away. You can move at the speed of the mind. As one, wherever your mind goes, your body can follow it. So you can go anywhere, anywhere that you can think of. You can see the activities of the heavenly planets. And there's here's the one we're doing today, that's mentioned today, this Garima or Mahima. Krishna says, one who absorbs his mind in the particular form of the Mahatattva and thus meditates upon me as a supreme soul of the total material existence achieves the mystic perfection called Mahima. By further absorbing the mind in the situation of each individual element, such as the sky, air, fire, and so on, one progressively acquires the greatness of each material element. I'll just find another interesting one for you. What about this one? One who places his consciousness on Vishnu, the Super Soul, the Supreme Lord of the External Energy, obtains the mystic perfection of controlling other conditioned souls, their material bodies, and their bodily designations. I mean, like you practically can become the supreme controller. Just find one more. I think I've told you all the good ones now. Oh yeah, this one is, if I desire to enter your body, then I meditate upon your body, and then I enter into it through the pathway of air. You know, as easily as a bee leaves one flower and flies into another. Shankaracharya. He also did this. He was a lifelong celibate monk, but he wanted to understand the principles of Kama Sutra. So he entered the body of a dead king, brought him into life, and he understood it all through the body of the king. And him in his own body, he never married like that. So he wanted to understand these things by his mystic power. And we know that the soul, the Bhagavatam says the mind is situated in the heart. And the soul is floating on life airs, right? When you die, when you leave the body, the airs leave the body. They come out the holes. Sinful person, he passes through the anus, very sinful man. And other people, they pass through the mouth. And the yogis, they can pass through. You know, babies, they have this little hole, little soft. You can feel in babies. So we have a tiny hole there. It's called the Brahmarandhra. And the yogis, they would use the heel to block the anus. They'd tie up the genital. Then they would block the ears. And they would block the mouth and the nostrils, block all the holes. And then by manipulating the chakras and the life airs, they would bring the soul here. And then by thinking of anywhere they wanted to go in the universe, they go through there and they would immediately go there by the power of the mind. So these guys in NASA, where are they? Cape Canaveral. They're building these big, huge machines, spending billions and wasting billions and billions of dollars to make these rockets, to fly up into space and send these stupid probes onto Mars and all this nonsense. For what purpose? What benefit? And here, spirit soul, he can go anywhere he likes by the power of mystic yoga. And these mystic yogas that Krishna's describing, they're all in connection with devotional service. But then at the end of the chapter, Krishna says, all these things are a waste of time. There's no value in them. Just like at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Brahmananda Maharaj, Prabhu, Prabhupada once told him that this verse at the beginning of the Bhagavatam is the most important verse in the whole Bhagavatam. Dhammas vanustita pungsam vishvaksena katasu yat not padiyat yatiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. If you perform your occupational duties perfectly, but you do not awaken attachment to hearing about Krishna, hearing about his pastimes, his form, his qualities, or one of his various incarnations, or all of them, or, you know, you don't become attached to Krishna, maya sakta mana pata, then shrama eva kevalam, it's a complete waste of time. So similarly, all these yogis developing mystic power, is this our line, to develop all these mystic powers? This is what we're here for? You want to build your own universe and control it? Maybe. Yeah. So these things are a little bit... Krishna says these are a distraction. And there's a wonderful verse in the CC that says, one who has not tasted love of Krishna, which is a controlling herb, and the verse says, forget the Sanskrit, but is on the path, one who doesn't travel on the pathway of the heart. He thinks all these things are wonderful. He thinks that Brahminical qualities are wonderful. Being a religious person is wonderful. Being a mystic yogi is wonderful. Having all these mystic powers, having followers, being wealthy, right? We think it's all wonderful because we're conditioned souls and we've not tasted love of Krishna. But one who's tasted love of Krishna, he doesn't care a fig for any of these things. He doesn't want to be a great yogi and control the universe. He doesn't want to become the prime minister or the president or the temple. You know, he wants to serve Krishna because in that service there is the greatest happiness. In fact, all these other things are like poison because they lead to misery. And here is the proof. Krishna is on the lap of his mother. So all these things, just like a rich man's son, for him it's nothing. He can, when he gets 18, he can have a fast car, and his father's very wealthy, he can pay the insurance, and it's nothing for him. But an average 18-year-old, he's thinking, oh, I have to drive some 1.1-liter car, you know, I have to get cheap insurance, and he's struggling. So for him, it's very wonderful to be able to drive a big fast car. But for the guy in the fast car, he's not very wonderful for him, and soon he gets bored. This is the way Maya works. Whatever you achieve, it's not satisfying. Just like there's these guys, they buy one yacht, and then they get bored with it, they want to buy another one, and there's no end to it. You know, you become a millionaire, but your neighbor's a billionaire. So you're always, always, always looking for, if only. The multimillionaire is thinking, if only I was a billionaire, then I could fly my helicopter and park it on the roof. You know, this billionaire next door, he can do that. I'm so unhappy. I'm a multimillionaire. I live in Hyde Park in this big mansion, but I'm so unhappy. Because next door, there's a billionaire and he's got a helicopter and a bigger yacht than me. So this is Maya, just an endless pit of illusion, that even if you climbed this yogi, he can control millions of universes, still he's not happy. This is the actual point, you see? Therefore the bhakti yogi, even from the beginning, he begins with this attachment to Krishna, darshan of Radha Gokulananda. Even our new bhakta, they come in and they very quickly get attached to the deities. And they're experiencing, what is that? Nectar devotion. Kleshagni, Shubhada, Mokshala, Grudakrit. Relief from all the sufferings of the material world. From the greatest yogi to the poor, distressed. All relief and suffering is there immediately. Immediately. Straight away. That's the first thing. Klesh Agni. Agni, the fire. Just like every day we're singing. Samsara Dava, Navalida Loka. Mahadavagni, Nivapara. This Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. The fire of material life is basically suffering and distress in whatever situation you find yourself. So the point is, the devotee, he gives up this aspiration for material improvement. This is the point of devotional life. This is the beginning of devotional life. Janmaishwarya Srita Sribi Edamana Madapuman. Queen Kunti prays that Krishna, one who's trying to improve his birth, even in the next life, Aishwarya, his opulence, his wealth, his education, he cannot utter your holy name with feeling. And this is the goal of our life, to be able to cry to Krishna with feeling and feel very fallen and take shelter of his lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the proof. What is Krishna's activities? Krishna can do anything he wants. He's Vishnu, he's the supreme controller, he's Lord Narayan. He's enjoying the worship of the hymns of the Vedas. He can do absolutely anything he wants. And he's enjoying in all these ways. Don't think he's not enjoying. He's enjoying unlimitedly. As Vamana, he's enjoying this pastime of stepping over the universe and taking his devotee, giving mercy to Bali Maharaj. He's enjoying that exchange of love. For him to step over the universe, it's no big deal. You know, for us, it's a big deal. Just like these gymnasts or these sportsmen, they can do wonderful things. For them, it's nothing. We're like, how can they do that? So for Krishna, the real thing he wants to experience is this exchange of loving devotion. And Yudhisthira Rajan says, Mahabharata, that if there's any contentment in this material world, it's in family life. So this is like a family. The ashram's a family. That's another point. But my point is, that Krishna can do anything he wants, but as his supreme enjoyment, he's on the lap of Mother Yashoda. He's enjoying with his mother, with his father, with his friends, running around in the dust of Braj, seemingly ordinary life. This is where he is the most happy. He's more happy here than when he's Narayan. He says, I prefer Mother Yashoda telling me off or speaking to me than the hymns of the Vedas. I prefer that. Just like sometimes we go on holiday and then after 2 weeks we want to come home. People go on holiday and they don't, after a couple of weeks they just can't wait to get home. Actually they go on holiday to appreciate their home. And what do they say? Home is where the heart is. Heart is, right? So Krishna also, he likes to be at home. And he likes that people, his devotees, are spontaneously attracted to him without this awe and reverence. This is the whole point of Bhagavatam, Krishna's Leela. So if we become attached to Krishna and hear about Krishna and develop attachment to Krishna, then that's pleasing to him. He's an unlimited person, he can do unlimited anything. And he has an unlimited appetite for the unlimited number of living entities to unlimitedly think of him. Manmana bhava madbhakto madjaji mam namaskuru. He wants you to think of him. If you think of him, he becomes very happy. And if you tell others to think of him, then he becomes very happy. This is the whole purpose of creation. And these yogis, they don't want to serve Krishna. See? They want to serve Krishna with their own desires on top. They become big mystic yogis. So this new bhakta is bowing down to Krishna. I'm a new bhakta also. I'm bowing down to Krishna. Then I'm in a better situation than these big mystic yogis who can do all these fancy pranayamas and astanga yoga. This is the real thing. The real thing is to have a loving exchange with Krishna. We are all enjoying loving exchanges with our friends and our family. But here, we want to be the center. That is the problem. In the material world, there's no center. Each individual is the center. But in the spiritual world, Krishna is the center. And now all life's activities focus around Krishna's activity. Therefore, it's very perfect. It's very harmonious. Plus, there's no old age, disease, and death. One gets a spiritual body, and one is happy always in the loving service of Krishna. So, just as an aside, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes these demons, says they represent different anattas in the heart. And we'll just do the first three, because this is the third one. Putana, she represents the pseudo-guru, the false guru. Shakatasura, he represents the heavy load of bad habits. And Bhaktivinoda says new habits, new bad habits, and old bad habits. Okay, so you have to be careful not to develop new bad habits, or at least if you find them, get rid of them. They're all described in Madhuri Kadambini, how one starts to get carried away with pride or material desires on top of his devotional service. That's a whole subject matter. Different types of anattas develop. We're getting rid of material anattas, then we may develop some spiritually tainted material anattas, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to be careful. Shakatasura. And Trinivata, he represents material scholarship. So you cannot approach Krishna with anything material. Either you're very beautiful, you're very wealthy, or you're very intelligent, materially intelligent. You can use everything in Krishna's service, your wealth, your intelligence. But one shouldn't become proud of material scholarship. And one shouldn't let his material scholarship overcoat his devotion. If one is very materially able, he has to engage it in Krishna's service without pride. So these are the points. Prabhupada says that the ultimate siddhi is to attain the favor of Vishnu, favor of Krishna. Prabhupada says if Krishna smiles at you once, if you please Krishna once, then your whole life is successful. So this is our endeavor, how to please Guru and Krishna. And all problems and anattas can be destroyed by hearing and chanting. So this hearing of Krishna's pastimes, read Krishna book. When I joined, I read Bhagavad Gita and Krishna book. And so these 10th cantos here, by hearing Krishna's pastime, one develops attachment to Krishna, who's the lifter of Govardhan Hill, who's the darling son of Mother Yashoda. And finally, when once Bhima was in the Himalayas somewhere, and this monkey was blocking his path, and Bhima's one of the strongest men in the whole world, said, you've got to get out of my way. Well, there was some pastime, and the monkey said, if you can move my tail, then you can pass. But Bhima couldn't move his tail. Then he realized this is Hanuman. So Hanuman had this. Hanuman's got all mystic siddhis. Could become heavier than the heaviest. Janmadyasya yataha. Yeah. So Krishna, this last point I'll make. Krishna is the source of everything. And we see everything in this world. Just like on the altar today, Krishna's wearing marigolds, chrysanthemums. Maybe mini chrysanthemums, and there's some roses. So the rose exists because Krishna created it. He thought of it. It's Krishna's, from Krishna's creative energy. From Krishna, he thought of this idea of a rose. He also thought of this idea of a mother and a child and a father and a uncle and a cousins and a Nothing exists that isn't coming from Krishna. So he's the source of all these things. We take it, we think that this is reality, but this is a reflection of eternal reality. So Krishna creates all these things, friendship, mothers, birth, all these rasas. Vedanta Sutra says, raso vaisa. He's rasa itself. So just like I said, the mind is in the heart. Life is really going on in the heart. You do what you want to do. You go to be with people you want to be with. Everything is moving because of the heart, not because of all these external things. People can be happy. See that in India, very simple people. As long as they have a wife and children, they're happy. Being alone is miserable. So Krishna, he doesn't want to be alone either. He's got unlimited ability to expand his happiness and enjoyment. And everything that's created is for his pleasure. And when we try to enjoy it separately from him, then we suffer in illusion. So the whole point of Krishna consciousness is to bring everything within the sphere of connecting to Krishna, joining to Krishna, and become happy. Hare Krishna.